Sunday, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And if you listened to us last week, you'll know we're at the very end of January, and we determined that you have until the end of March to still call something a New Year's resolution, correct?
Yes, till the end of March. Based on our calculations and our professional advice and expertise, we are now letting everybody know the end of March is your due date for your New Year's resolutions, which I think is kind of good because, you know, sometimes you don't think about your New Year's resolutions until, you know, midway through January. Maybe you don't have one and we're at the end of January and you've been listening to the show and you're kind of thinking, oh, maybe I'll focus on professionalism, because that's what we talked about last week is, you know, Sheena, both of our professional careers and what we do and how we want to elevate ourselves. And so maybe somebody listened and they're going to go get some continuing education or, you know, do something fun with their lives.
Exactly. And so just to make a clarification too, if it is after the end of March, yes, you can still make goals for yourself and strategize. We're just at that point, just going to call it just a goal as opposed to a technical New Year's resolution. So I want to make sure that people know that we're still encouraging folks to want to better themselves, think about different ways for self-care, all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, it's kind of crazy that we're already in the year 2022. You know, we're at the end of January. Now, Whitney, have you gotten used to writing 2022 on documents? I feel like I don't handwrite a lot of things these days. So it's not like I'm writing checks to, right, you know, my landlord or something, you know?
Yeah. I was just going to say that, you know, I think about, I don't know the last time it was, I wrote like a check to the landlord or a check period, but that was always the running joke is like when the new year started, you were still stuck on like the previous year, just writing it out. I did do that. I had to write something. No. I think I had to like go get a COVID test, go figure. And I remember like filling out the little form and putting 21 and I was like, ugh. And I was like, that's the first time I even thought about like, okay, crap, I need to like change the date or whatever, but everything's automated now because everything's digital, which, I like because then I don't mess things up. But yeah, 2022, it's been a okay start, I think. I mean, considering the conditions, I feel like everybody's moving forward. So yeah, maybe I'll stay on track with writing 2022, at least through March. I think it used to take me a little bit longer, maybe like February before I kind of got used to life.
Sure. Yeah, no. And on my way to work out in the morning or really anytime I'm driving somewhere, I'll be in my van, my minivan, you know, super sexy, hot car. And we have Sirius XM radio in the van. And so there's the different decade stations. Mm. And so a lot of times I'll usually be listening to like 80s or 90s or the early 2000s. And I can't remember what song I was listening to this morning. Of course, it was like at 4:30 a.m. So I'm actually okay with the fact that I did not remember. Yeah. But as I was listening to it and I was looking at the year, it said that the song came out in 92. And I was like, oh, my Lanta, that was over 30 years ago.
Isn't that weird?
When people talk about like classics and oldies, I'm still thinking of like 50s, 60s, maybe 70s, not the 90s.
I think I was listening to, like, I just had the radio on. It was like the classic rock station or something. And I had it on and they played like U2 or they played like Black Crowes. And I was like, how is this classic? Like, there's no relevant. So how is this? But I guess classic rock is technically still relevant, but I don't know. It's just strange. And I think when you start like getting in your 30s and rounding the corner to 40, you start kind of learning like, okay, things are changing. Life's changing.
Yes, I know. And so I don't know. I mean, I still think it's great music. Maybe I just have a problem with them calling it classics or old, but that's okay. But y'all, today's show will not be about that. That's just us kind of, you know, doing some old folk talk about older music. But, you know, really in the vein of continuing to talk about New Year's resolutions or really just strategizing for the year, we thought we would keep it simple for you guys today in a good way. And we're going to leave you on that cliffhanger because we have to take a break, but grab a beverage, go to the restroom, do whatever you need to do. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone, and this is only our second radio show actually being recorded. I think we had to do a couple of reruns because, you know, we had a little bit of a late start with, you know, go figure, certain reasons, pandemic. But anyway, so, you know, we're back and we're just covering some New Year's resolutions. But, you know, Sheena kind of left us a little bit, you know, the preview about what we want to talk about. And with Sheena, you being a registered dietitian and me being a certified group exercise instructor, personal trainer, yoga, all that kind of stuff, you know, it's kind of nice for us to just pause and give some advice on what we think is a healthy way to get started. If you are trying to, you know, start exercising, if you do have certain goals, or maybe you don't, and you just need a place to start. And Sheena, you said it perfectly. We just kind of want to keep it simple, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do. And I think, Whitney, before we got started today, I was telling you that a lot of the things that I wanted to share today were things that I will often share when I'm doing group presentations on campus or even out in the community. And it's funny because there's actually one slide that I will use in any kind of group presentation. And it's basically it's a picture of a sports car. Mm-hmm. And it's really my way of getting individuals to think about their body like a really nice sports car or a well-oiled machine, because I think sometimes there's a disconnect between how we expect our body or that machine to perform versus how we are taking care of it. So if we're regarding our body as this really fancy sports car, this expensive Lamborghini or whatever else, we're probably going to be really intentional with how we're maintaining it. So if that check engine light goes off, we're going to immediately want to take it to the shop. Same thing if, you know, the check engine light goes off in our body, we're going to go to the doctor. We're not going to ignore it. We're going to put in high quality fuel. Mm. We have this expectation that it's going to go 0 to 60 physically. And so I think sometimes students, faculty, staff, whoever, we have these expectations of our body performing and going, but then we treat our body like a paid off 1987 Toyota Corolla, you know, where, you know, maybe we're not as intentional about the quality of the fuel that we're putting in, or we ignore when the check engine light comes on, you know, what I mean? And mm-hmm. So I think that even just in the beginning of this, getting in that right mindset, and maybe that's just a matter of you sitting down with yourself and thinking, okay, what do I expect from my body? What do I want from my body? Mm-hmm. Am I actually moving it or fueling it in a way that aligns with that? Because I think a lot of times there can be that disconnect. Have you seen that before with clients where they talk about like, oh, well, I want to do this, this, and this, but then they're not necessarily doing the things to prepare your body to perform that way, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny because, I mean, I've sat through your presentations and you're right. The car analogy, I always think of that ever since I saw that. And I think it was a presentation we had to do like a tag team or something, but you're right. And it's the same thing with exercise. And I get really frustrated, but at the same time, I know that at one point in my life, I was that way as well before I was like educated on some information that was pretty pertinent to like being successful in working out and not just working out, because sometimes working out can be such a, you know, one of those like frou-frou terms or whatever that, oh, I got to go work out. And that's fine to use, but I like for people to kind of get in a different mindset. And I think the car analogy is a perfect way to do that. You know, I see people come into the rec all the time and they'll be doing strength exercises, you know, really bad form, maybe heavy, heavy weights. Maybe they're killing themselves on cardio. And I'm just like, I get it. I get it. Cause that's what's put out there for us to see. That's what we see on, you know, social media. It's, you know, go hard and, you know, no pain, no gain. And I think there's a place where you can work hard and push yourself when you have a good baseline to work with. And a lot of our clients that come in, they don't have a baseline. You know, in physical activity, we have to make sure that you're moving from the right place, that you have good form, that you have good body awareness before you can even push yourself to those higher levels. And that's kind of one of my pet peeves with some of these, you know, programs that they'll market. Not all of them, because I think they try to, you know, kind of make it successful for the client, but it's this very competitive mindset. Competition is good, but you have to kind of know your limits. And so I think the going all in and going really hard, really fast. I mean, all I've seen in my expertise and what I've, you know, been doing for the past however many years is, you know, it creates burnout, and then you're not going to stick with your resolution.
I agree. Whenever I am working with the nutrition interns that are in my office and we talk about counseling individuals, it's funny because after sessions with patients, they'll say, oh my gosh, you know, all the goals that you gave that person seemed really simple. And I think sometimes it's important to start simple, because if you have someone who has never made any dietary changes before, you want to give them some goals that feel very manageable for them and they feel like they can accomplish them, so they can build their confidence knowing, oh, I am capable of change. Because I think if somebody goes into their first visit with a nutritionist or whoever, and they end up seeing, you know, all of these different goals that are like so intense and so lofty, and then they come back to their next session and they feel like they didn't accomplish any of them consistently, they're going to label themselves as a failure. So I would rather start with something simple as, hey, I know that you want to say, hey, I'm going to eat clean, not eat any fried food this week, do all these things. But let's just start with something as simple as, let's make sure you're drinking enough water this week. You know, let's focus our energies on that, and let's go with that. You know,
would you agree? I was just sitting here thinking about that. Like, you know, the research of the guidelines that we'll kind of talk about, like, you know, the nitty gritty of like how to get started. But like, in my opinion, I don't know if you agree with this, when you look at the recommendations, it looks really simple. It's very simple. And like, I think as human beings and our influences that, you know, kind of cause us to think, you know, differently about ourselves. And it's sometimes an internal, but it can also be external, you know, I think that's what makes it complicated. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm a fitness person, and honestly, I'll be quite frank, I've never had an issue with like my weight or anything, because I've always been active. So for me to talk about this, some people are probably thinking, well, you don't have to worry. Well, you know, that may be true for like a weight loss aspect, but maybe gaining strength and staying motivated, you know, for myself, it gets a little tough when you have to encourage other people to do these things. So you kind of have to find how you're motivated. But when I was looking at my list, I was like, you know, they make it really, it's really simple, but I think we create and make these things, our expectations are a little bit greater, and we want quick results like right now.
Right. And like we were talking about last week with using technology with New Year's resolutions and the potential of somebody putting out on social media what they're trying to accomplish, I think that we live in this culture now where people feel like the only types of goals that they set for themselves are the kind that they want to document and kind of put out there for everyone. So I usually will tell my clients, hold your cards close to you and, you know, really challenge yourself to not be in that mindset of, oh, what can I do to take a picture of, because what is that going to accomplish, you know? And so I'm excited about us talking throughout the afternoon about this. I know in a little bit we'll be taking another break, but I think it'll be great for us to just kind of go back and forth with our top list of what we normally like to share with individuals, you know?
Yeah, I think that'll be great, and kind of give everybody a guideline. And guys, it is really easy. And you could even, if you're listening to the show, not driving, but I was going to say, get out your phone and like fact check us if you want, because a lot of the information we're going to give you is, it's been around for a while. It changes, and it updates, but for the most part, it's pretty solid, information. And, you know, just in our experiences, hopefully we can kind of help you guys think through, you know, fitness and nutrition, they go hand in hand, in my opinion. And I know that in my experience and some of my clients' experiences, when you start exercising, whether it's just, I'm going to make the decision to start walking every day, that one behavior change leads to the next. Whereas with nutrition, Sheena, with your people, you make that one change, like I'm going to drink more water this week, or I'm going to try to eat more veggies this week. It then leads to the next thing. So it really is holistic and it goes together, which is really cool.
Absolutely. And it's funny because I was talking with one of my clients last week about this, and I went into this weird rabbit hole with her using an analogy about Dave Ramsey. Whitney, I don't know if you're familiar with him and his financial stuff and his little baby steps for financial success. And he talks about when you're paying off debt, doing something called the snowball effect. So essentially you are, you know, you're paying the minimum balance on all these debts, but whatever whatever the smallest one is, snowball and put like your biggest efforts there just to knock it out and get rid of it. You know, sometimes it seems like you want to really go at it with the most daunting debt first, but same thing with these lifestyle behaviors. Let's go ahead and master the really simple things so they become second nature and they don't have to be goals anymore. And we just build on that. But y'all, before we get too far in the woods with that, we got to take a break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And this afternoon, we have been talking about really selecting nutrition and physical activity efforts that are going to be sustainable and simple. I think many of our listeners have probably heard of the acronym KISS, the Keep It Simple, Stupid.
Yeah.
I don't like the word stupid at the end. I think because I try to teach my children not to say that word, but it's very basic and straightforward. And essentially part of the theme of what we want to do today. And so, you know, Whitney, earlier on, we talked about wanting to make sure that folks are in the right mindset with what they want to accomplish and what they want to do to get there. And so if you have someone, Whitney, who's, you know, coming to you for physical activity advice, or you're just thinking about your general go-to knowledge, what's one of the first things that you want to let anybody know when it comes to them starting that physical activity journey?
Yeah. So what I normally do when I'm working with somebody as a fitness professional, I get as much information from them. It's just our chance to kind of talk to each other about, you know, what their goals are, because I think even though they're telling me as a professional, it gets them saying it out loud. So then they can kind of decide whether it's a lofty goal and we need to kind of bring it back a little bit, or if it's, you know, a pretty good start. And then I always like to kind of introduce them to the components of fitness, because I think sometimes people don't really understand that there are more than one way to work out or one component. And so I always like to kind of talk to them a little bit about cardio and what that means, and working on, you know, cardiorespiratory endurance and why that's important, and how that plays into their everyday life, how they can lower their resting heart rate, become more efficient with you know, cardio. And so we talk about that a little bit, and then we kind of go into muscular strength and endurance and why it's important to lift weights, why we need to be lifting weights the amount that we do, and then flexibility. I usually go into that. So just kind of in a nutshell, and you guys listening, I mean, you can look this up on CDC. You can look this up on ACSM's website, which is American College of Sports Medicine, ACE, anything that is a legitimate source. And you'll know, because if it's like Allure magazine, you might not want to go with that. You might want to pick your credible sources. But all healthy adults, and so 18 to 65 years old is our range right now, should be doing moderate intensity aerobic physical activity, 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. So you can kind of look at it as 150, you know, minutes, if my math is correct, a week. Is that math correct? Yeah. But 30 minutes a day is a good start. Now, for some of my clients, 30 minutes a day of doing some physical activity, maybe it's getting on a bike or walking the track, 30 minutes can be a lot, depending on, you know, if you've had any surgeries with, you know, knee replacements, hip replacements, things like that. But maybe we can look at building to that number. And a lot of times I'll mention to people, you know, we don't have to do it at a set amount. We don't have to do 30 right away, because that can get tiring if you're pretty sedentary and you can't sustain that. So I'll say, well, let's just split it up. So we talk about the importance of doing some cardio, and just some examples of cardio. I mentioned earlier walking. You can run. Running's pretty strenuous. I mean, I wouldn't recommend running for somebody that's, you know, like I said, sedentary. Maybe that's a goal that they want to get to, is they can run a mile. And so maybe we start small. But I love things that are kind of non-weight bearing sometimes for some of those people, like doing some water aerobics in the pool, maybe getting on the elliptical machine. It kind of takes a little bit of that load off, and sustaining that. And then we get into strength training, because strength training is pretty important, especially for certain populations, that you know, are higher risk for osteoporosis. Myself and you, Sheena, we're both in that high risk category. But also it kind of helps us to use our calories a little bit better. And, and strength training needs to be done 2 to 3 days a week. And I always tell my clients, keep it simple, 2 days a week. You can do a full body strength training, two sets of a number. And I'll usually help them with that number. And that typically looks like maybe 8 to 12 repetitions. You kind of want that last movement or exercise to be tough, but you can do it. It's not like you're losing your form and, you know, you're totally exhausting yourself, but you can maintain good alignment and form. And do that a couple of days a week. And what's really cool, if you go to a gym, most gyms will have the weight machines set up kind of in sections to where you can choose your major muscle groups that you want to do. So I look at major muscle groups as legs. Well, you're going to get all your muscles worked when you do a leg machine, a chest press. You're going to get tricep, shoulders, and chest. So if you go and do a little research and look at those machines, they're going to highlight the muscles that you're working. You're going to get a full body workout. So I kind of start there. It sounds kind of like a lot, but if you were to do, let's just say 30 minutes a day of some cardio, 2 to 3 days a week of strength training, that would be a good start. And then of course, throwing in some flexibility, and you could look up all day long stretches, stretching those same major muscle groups that you could do every single day. That's kind of like my crash course in, this is what we're going to do to get started.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I feel like the fitness industry has done a really good job most recently of changing the narrative in regards to the role that strength training plays when it comes to weight management, weight loss. I think that, you know, many times there have been people that have just thought, oh, I just need to do a ton of cardio.
Right.
And then they have no regard for that strength training piece that really builds up that lean body mass and makes that metabolism more efficient. So I love the fact that that is one of the first things that you're talking with clients about. And then of course with flexibility too, because I think sometimes people just don't even think about that as a component of fitness and the importance of that warming up and cooling down and being able to have that piece there. So I really love that. And, you know, it's funny when you were talking about cardio earlier and exercise in general with walking. I know one of our frequent guests that we have on, Nika Morgan, when we've talked about walking before, we've talked about how it's such an excellent exercise for women because for one, it's so simple. It really enforces us to keep good posture. And so I was doing a presentation a couple of weeks ago and I was showing students, you know, when somebody comes into my office and they say, oh, I want to get healthy, usually their visuals are like this well-curated Pinterest board of all of the most extreme things. And it's not necessarily, say, the types of things that we saw in the 90s where you saw the Mediterranean diet and then a book on power walking and step aerobics. You know, if you were to tell somebody now, oh, I've started working out, I'm power walking, that does not sound as impressive to you. The college student is saying, oh, I'm doing a HIIT workout now, or I do CrossFit, or, you know, I go to SoulCycle or whatever else. So it's honestly, it's just kind of comical. And I would just tell folks, get above the noise and just realize you want to do something that is going to be sustainable. It doesn't have to be something that's sexy and trendy. It just has to be something that's moving your body and accomplishing what we need it to do from a science perspective, you know?
You know, and kind of talking about, you know, HIIT classes and high intensity, those things are great. And I always recommend that if someone, you know, is an avid exerciser or whatever, you know, they're used to doing like all that kind of stuff. But if you're kind of new to this, just know that like taking longer breaks is okay. That type of training is really good to incorporate strength and cardio and do interval training. And it's not as time consuming. So like for us over here at the rec center, we have classes that are 30 minutes long and it's just quick intervals. You get in, you get out, and it has its benefits. Cause we were talking about, you know, having more lean tissue and muscle. It takes a little bit more maintenance. And so you burn those calories even after you've been doing those exercises. So I have a little analogy for you, Sheena. I know we're coming up on a break. We'll talk more nutrition, but you're talking about your car. Well, in the exercise world, you could take that same car And say you've been on a really long road trip. So you just, you know, drove from, I don't know, Tuscaloosa to Orlando. When you park the car, it's going to take a while for that engine to cool down. It's the same thing with our body. So we're going to continue to burn calories and use that fuel. And we could talk about fuel systems all day long. That gets pretty in depth, but it does cause you to burn more calories after the fact. That's why strength training. And if you look at those, you know, the big blob of fat that's 5 pounds and then the muscle that's 5 pounds, how the fat is a little bit bigger and the muscles more tight and compact. It's kind of important to think about, you know, how that plays into your exercise, your workout.
Absolutely. No, I love that. And so I think that this was a great segment of us kind of hyper-focusing on that physical activity perspective. And now I know after the break, we're going to be switching over to nutrition. So y'all sit tight. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Thanks for being with us on this Sunday afternoon. We're just trying to get y'all ready to roll for the semester, give you some good tips to get started. We talked fitness this previous segment and just some of those things that you can think about when, you know, involving, you know, your workout with cardio, strength, flexibility, they all go together. So I encourage everybody to get on the internet, look at some of those resources online and, you know, get a plan. But, you know, Sheena, I will have to say, I believe in exercise. I believe in movement, but I don't believe that it's the only thing that you should be looking at in terms of getting healthy and weight loss. That there is that nutrition has such a huge component. And I would almost actually say that nutrition, and you could maybe debunk my theory, but I believe that exercise is important for maintaining and moving the body to be physically fit and active. But when we get into thinking about weight loss goals, nutrition is that vital component, in my opinion. Would you agree, or would you think that they're pretty similar?
I would agree in many ways. You know, I think that certainly, you know, when people are thinking about weight loss goals, one of the first interventions that they want to think about is how they can change things up on their plate, which is important. But then when we talk about the sustainability piece and making the body stronger and really getting to a point where because you can only cut out what you eat so much, you know, and if you're hitting plateaus, maybe it's a matter of, oh, this is where I need to start moving my body if you haven't already started that from the get-go. And I think that, you know, one of the biggest things that folks come in with as far as questions when they want to work with me, you know, they have this expectation of, oh, I just want you to write this diet plan for me,
right?
Write out a menu. And there is some convenience to that because it's nice to not be able to think and just kind of follow something. But what happens when you don't have the food available in your kitchen that was laid out on that menu?
Right.
You're just like, oh, well, I don't know what to do. I guess I can't follow my meal plan today. So sometimes I do have clients that are frustrated when I'll tell them, I don't want to be a menu writer for you. I want to empower you with knowledge where you understand the role of different types of food so that when you're in any kind of eating scenario, whether it's a potluck at work or something with your family or a restaurant you've never been to, you have this great nutrition knowledge where you can navigate all of those choices. And so I think probably one of the biggest things that I like to do initially with folks is really clarifying what each of the different macronutrients do for our body and why they're all very equally important because they play so many different roles. Because I think that unfortunately, when we think about the weight loss and wellness industry, it's a $1 trillion industry worldwide. And there's, you know, there's some reputable things out there, but there are a lot of companies that are just, you know, trying to make a quick buck. They want you to buy into whatever they're selling. And there's not necessarily any regulation from the FDA to debunk the claims that these folks are doing. So, you know, first I'm going to talk a little bit about carbohydrates because carbs tend to get a bad rap in a lot of different ways. And the thing about carbohydrates first, I like to let our listeners know, or at least remind them, that carbohydrates are not just your starchy foods, we can get some great carbohydrate energy from fruit or dairy products like a Greek yogurt or a banana or a glass of orange juice, not just potatoes and breads and crackers. And the thing about carbohydrates is that carbs are your body's preferred fuel source. Really, at the chemical level, our brain runs at its highest level of efficiency if it's actually getting glucose, aka carbs. Mm-hmm. And yes, our body can run off of alternative fuels if those carbs aren't available, but I would rather give those cells what they actually need to work at their highest capacity possible. However, what we do want to keep in mind with carbohydrates is that carbs are chemically built to be digested pretty quickly so that they can energize whatever activity you're about to immediately go into, whether you're running on the basketball court or you're needing brain power to do really well on a test. So they don't always do the best job of keeping us full for a long amount of time because they're not built to do that. And that's where protein and fat are going to come in. Protein takes longer for your body to digest, so it's going to keep you fuller for a longer amount of time. We always hear about protein in terms of cell synthesis and, you know, of course, muscle building. And then when you think about that component of fat, whether that's the yolk that you keep in your eggs or the fat that's in peanut butter or avocados or the salad dressing you use, fat is the chemical component of a meal or snack that actually makes that meal or snack satisfying to you. So I'll tell folks, like, have you ever eaten something and you got full from it, but you weren't necessarily satisfied and you felt like you were still craving something? It may be the fact that there wasn't enough dietary fat in that previous meal, because I can't tell you how many people I know, or at least that have come into my office, that will eat a salad, but the salad's naked. Like, there's no dressing on it. There's like no seeds or nuts, or instead of doing regular peanut butter, I think the trendy thing has been that PB2, the powdered peanut butter. So yes, the protein is in there, but that fat that really just makes it satisfying is gone. One of my favorite analogies that I've heard recently, because, you know, I'm all about analogies. You know, if we're trying to justify the importance of carbs, especially as someone who works out, is there's a dietitian in Atlanta, Marie Spano. She's actually the sports dietitian for the Atlanta Braves. And I think it was 2 months ago, she was talking about this. So if you're thinking about recovery nutrition after working out and you're thinking about muscle building, because again, we like to think protein, protein, protein. What you can really think about with this is if you're building a house, and say you're trying to build muscle, think of protein like your raw materials, and then think of your carbohydrate as your construction workers. So if you have all this protein, you know, that all this raw material, so all of these pieces of wood and brick or whatever, I mean, that's great. But if you don't have any construction workers, AKA carbohydrates, to productively use that protein or that raw material, it's just going to sit there. And essentially, it's just going to be excessive energy or calories that aren't used productively. So if you're ever really trying to justify the need for carbohydrate, think about it in that regard, that you need that carbohydrate as a catalyst to use protein productively. And so, of course, you know, we want to be mindful of what types of carbs we're eating or what that ratio is, but you really don't have to overthink it. It's just, if you can give that mindset of when you're eating a meal, go ahead and give your body that trifecta of some carbs, protein, and fat, because it wants all three. Because I think that sometimes we can eat a meal that's just a plate of protein if we're doing, you know, low carb or keto, or, you know, even, you know, I know folks that'll do just a plate of carbs, like just a ton of pasta, but there's no protein source.
You know, then
I mean, the body is like, hey, I'm still hungry. And so if your body's like, I need some protein, but you keep filling that protein hole with more carbs, or maybe that carb hole with more protein, you're going to feel hungry or unsatisfied all day long, because your body is trying to say, like, yo, I'm kind of missing out on something. So that's something really big that I'll tell folks, is that if you're having certain types of cravings late at night, it's not always the situation where you don't have any willpower. It's probably just your body's resiliency and its effect of taking inventory of how you ate earlier on in the day. And it's like, oh man, Whitney really gypped me in the protein department or the carb department. I'm going to think of something that's high octane in that category to get her to eat, because I'm not thinking, oh, these carbs are coming from a Krispy Kreme donut. I'm thinking, oh, right. I just need something that has carbohydrates in general, you know?
It's so interesting how your body will talk to you. And the whole time you were, you know, giving us all this great information, I'm sitting here thinking, wow, the good Lord was smart when, you know, here we are, these bodies that if you start to get a headache, if you start to not feel well, like yesterday, I remember like I ate a pretty good lunch, but then like ate a pretty big bowl of ice cream after and some M&Ms. Cause I was like, it's Saturday. That's what I'm going to do. But then like not long after that, I was like, man, I just don't really feel that great because my lunch was very carb heavy as well. And I thought to myself for dinner, I don't even want anything that has any remote sweet to it. That is not appealing to me. I want like some greens and some like an egg, a boiled egg and like some vegetables. And I put like some olive oil on it. And it was like the most satisfying thing because I had the fat, I had the carb in some of my vegetables, I had the protein. And my advice with exercise, and Sheena, I know just based on what you were saying, it sounds very similar, is listening to your body and not always just saying you can't have this, you can't do that, but giving yourself a little bit of grace.
Absolutely. No, I love that. And you're right. I think that sometimes when we think about the types of things that we're craving, we always think about that in a negative connotation.
Right.
Our body, you know, aside from the fact that sometimes it's craving a different flavor profile, that different flavor profile is also going to represent a completely different profile of nutrients too. So they can go hand in hand. So you can really think about that from the nutrition perspective. But I know we've got to take another break before our last segment. You guys are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7, The Capstone, and another one in the books, another great show. And I feel like, Sheena, based on last week's show and this week's show, we've given our listeners a lot to think about in terms of New Year's resolutions. We've extended the timeline to the end of March. So if you need a little help, you can check out some resources on campus to get, you know, locked in gear. But during the break, I was kind of, you know, we were kind of chit-chatting about, you know, how do we want to close the show today? We talked a lot about our advice, our resources that we use, and it got me thinking about my role as an instructor, as a fitness manager, as, you know, someone that works with clients one-on-one. And sometimes it can be a little stressful at times. And I don't know about you, Sheena, but certain times of year, I feel like I'm really like on high gear of like, I have people asking me questions about fitness and wellness. I have an influx of clients and it can be a little overwhelming, but one thing that I have to remember is I am in this role for a reason because of the knowledge that I have, the personality that I have, like I'm in this role for a reason. And I kind of have to like put myself, you know, a back seat. So my question to you is how do you cope and manage, you know, with just kind of the influx with, you know, New Year's resolutions and helping people. And then, you know, how do you personally stay motivated so that you can motivate others?
Absolutely. So I think that you and I are both on the same page in terms of really understanding and believing and knowing how much of a difference our scopes of practice really affect someone's long-term health. And I've always had to put in my mind that if somebody is asking me a question, I want it to be important to me because it's important to them. And, you know, yes, we can all get burnout and what that looks like. But I think, you know, just in terms of full transparency, I actually recently started seeing a therapist for the first time in over 10 years, just for me to be able to have a place to professionally decompress. And so, you know, we often talk about how important mental health is. I think as a campus community, we constantly talk about that. And so I think that there, you know, we need to make sure that we have in place like our ways of having our own downtime so that our bodies can kind of hit that recharge button, because I want to make sure whenever we are interacting with individuals, they're getting that best version of ourselves versus us when we're running off of fumes. Now, there's going to be times during the semester where we're running on fumes, but I would hate for that to be the norm. You know, how about for you?
Yeah. And I mean, thanks for sharing that, because I think, you know, as someone that's in fitness, we're always looked at to always be smiling, to always be on. And there's just some days that you don't feel that way. And it's not that you want to be fake about it, but you still want to like be real and true as a person. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves is like when I see these fitness people that are super ripped, super cut, they're leading these classes and it's like they're robots. I'm like, that is just not how humanity is. We have our ups and downs. And so, you know, for me to stay motivated, I do have to take that time. I am very willing to help in my instructors when they're in need for subs. But then there's also a time where I have to step back and say, okay, I can't do that right now. My family needs me at this time. I need to be recharged. And so I think it is taking a step back. I think it is, you know, reevaluating your schedule and putting up those parameters and those barriers, like making sure you have time that you can go out to eat, that you can be with your family so you can get recharged. And it took me a while to learn that because I'm the type of person, and she, I don't know about you, but I'll go, 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 because it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, people need me. I've got to keep going. I have to keep the rec center afloat. You know, we got to keep moving, but really you're not doing anyone a service if you're not taking care of yourself. And we've heard it all along. It's very cliche, I think, to say like, you got to take care of yourself in order to take care of others. But it's true. I mean, you have to, you know, find someone to talk to, have some quiet time, you know, listen to music, just lay on the floor and rest for a second. So I think for our listeners to know that we're human and we struggle with these things as well, hopefully makes you think a little differently about us, that we're all in this together. But we'll keep trucking. We just got to take that downtime when we need it.
Exactly. Setting those boundaries, you know, and especially in a college town and a campus community where not everyone is on this 8-to-5 schedule, right. You got to set those boundaries and just know that, you know, if somebody is setting boundaries with you, it's so that whenever you are communicating with them or can, they just want to make sure they're giving their best selves right. to you. But high five, Whitney, on another great show, if I do say so myself. We hope y'all have a fabulous week and we will catch you technically next month. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.